Hey everyone, we have got an amazing show planned for you. Have you ever wanted to create your own user group? Have you ever wanted the tools or essentially just some tips on how to get started and really how to keep going? Then this show is for you.
This is our very first home episode of Less Code, More Power. Stay tuned. Hello! Welcome to Less Code, More Power. No, don't change. You're at the right place. I know we're not in Channel 9 Studio the way we're all used to, but because of COVID-19, we decided to do something dramatic. We said, we're not going to stop filming. This virus is not interrupting Less Code, More Power. Instead, we're going to shoot from our houses. So here we go, our first home episode. My name is Donna Sarkar. My co-host is
Sarah Critchley.
And today we're going to be talking about a topic that is near and dear to us and apparently to many of you. User groups. User groups, user groups. So Sarah, tell us about user groups. Why are user groups so important? And why are they extra important at a time like this?
Oh, wow. This is like, we've been looking forward to doing this episode, right? So the thing is with user groups is they kind of create so much possibility. I think that's what one of the things the main thing that I personally love about user groups. And I definitely get that from everyone else I know either runs or participates in a user group. And essentially what they do they give people a place. They give people a place of essentially kind of being able to have a like-minded kind of group of people. I know you're probably rolling your eyes going, yeah, that's kind of just a group of people with a shared interest. And really, that's kind of what it is, right? It's not, I don't want to overcomplicate it. Just there's something magical about a user group that kind of is different to just a group of people. And that's, you know what I mean, Donna, in terms of it's not just a group of people. Like when you walk into a user group, it kind of has an energy to it.
That's right. And all of you have gathered there for a specific common goal. And it automatically gives you something to talk about, right? This is not your scary, boring networking event where you go in and you're like, did you travel far to get here? Like, who the hell cares? You are at this user group because you're here to talk about something or another. It could be Power Apps. It could be Power Automate. It could be bots. It could be all sorts of things. But you know why you went there. And even better, if you brought a friend along. We're huge fans of bringing a friend along to user groups because it's less scary for you. Plus, you bring a friend along to a thing, that's good for them. So one of the things we've heard from you a lot all over the world is, I really want to set up a local user group. How do you do that? And we said, instead of us expecting all of you to figure it out, we're going to give you a few pieces of advice that we have learned from setting up our own user groups and seeing some of the most successful user groups in the world use while getting created. Now, Sarah, what do you think about the fact that we're all kind of sequestered in our houses right now? Do you think it's important to create user groups virtually?
So much. Like being able to not let like kind of anything stop you actually kind of create this space. And the thing is, like, from a technology perspective, we're those people who are privileged enough to be able to have like kind of really good internet connections and to be able to log into Teams calls and have this kind of stuff. You know, it's your responsibility to go ahead and still continue this enthusiasm and still like kind of create a user group and still go ahead and really be that leader, be that person that goes, you know what, I'm not going to wait for someone else to do it. I'm going to actually do this, just because we're all kind of either showering in place or trying to avoid, obviously, kind of large gatherings and stuff like that and really kind of any kind of interaction right now. It's still the responsibility of us to go ahead and create that community. It doesn't have to be in person.
Exactly. And it really helps combat loneliness, I feel. It's so easy to get suckered into.
So much.
Yeah, our meetings all day and all out, and we're not having any meaningful sharing with people. And this is such a good way to connect with people, yes, who live near us, but also maybe far, far away, who never get a chance to go to real in-person user groups. So I almost find it to be an interesting benefit where it's almost more inclusive to have these virtual ones so that people can attend virtually. And who knows, you may decide to continue yours virtually in person, you know, depending on the month. So let's get right to it. Let's talk about our top tips for starting a user group. Sarah, what is your number one tip?
So my number one tip is, so in terms of, we'll try and put some organization to these tips for you all, right? So we'll start with a kind of, if you're looking at creating a user group right now, like as in what to kind of do, like you've just kind of been going about your day, like kind of doing some work, writing some stuff down, and you're like, I really want to start a user group. Like that would be pretty awesome. What would be essentially that first step? And for me, it would be research. So go ahead and research what actually kind of exists now. And the reason I say that is not because I recommend kind of just jumping on someone else's user group or kind of, no, that sounded kind of like mean. I don't mean it in a mean way, but like kind of and just jumping on someone else's user group. More so like just know what's out there. It's essentially that secondary research that you should be doing because I'm going to steal two slots here actually, Donna, because my second one is kind of a subpart to this one in terms of research. Is the idea of knowing what's out there doesn't mean that you can't make your own. So just because there's, say, for example, I've moved to Vancouver recently, there's a few user groups already here, that doesn't mean that it's going to stop me from creating a new one if there's the need for a different technology focus, or maybe I've got this amazing idea and I still want to be able to bring this to people. It shouldn't stop you, but what it should do, it should actually promote collaboration with those other existing user groups. And this is where kind of that first tip is really important, because if you don't do that research, then it means you won't make those connections, because ultimately people who lead and create user groups are we're all very helpful actually, because in most people will actually go ahead and give you a hand and say, well, these are all the tools that I've done, go ahead and I'll share them with you. So it's actually going to help you by doing that research, potentially reaching out to those people that actually have user groups in your area, and then go ahead and almost make a little sub network in your region or province or state even, that you can then go ahead and still create your own. So that's kind of one and a half and two. So yeah, I hope that makes sense.
So you're new to Vancouver. How did you specifically go about finding what user groups are there? What were the tools? Was it Meetup? Was it something else? Did you attend these user groups?
It was kind of a mix of all of them. So I'll just go ahead and put in a search engine, right? I'll just go ahead and just put Vancouver user groups and then put the technology name. And the Meetup's really nice as well because it's so open and essentially tries to, like, the purpose of the platform is it tries to get people to kind of sign up and say that they're part of a kind of group, right? So the Meetup was really, really kind of easy to use. The thing is, the interface is really so easy to use and get to know. And then other websites like Dynamics Community is another various kind of organizations as well, especially the Microsoft site, like the tech community site as well. That's another thing that's really good to actually use. So think about like your native technology, think about then your region, and just think about doing some search engines searches, Bing or Google, whatever your like preference is. But I think it's more about following the rabbit hole when you find some information in that respect. Like as in, those are just like the precursors. Go ahead and try and find some, because there may be some lesser known groups in your area too.
Oh, totally. So I think one of the things you and I have talked about a lot is getting a co-pilot.
Yes.
It makes everything better, whether you're starting a user group or a show like this one. It's just so much better to have a co-founder and a co-organizer. It keeps you from being lonely. It keeps you from getting frustrated. So tell us about your experiences with, you lived in London for a long time before this. And as we know, the Power Platform London user group community is one of the richest, most amazing in the world. Tell us about the dynamics of having multiple organizers, multiple co-founders. How did that work? And do you have any advice on how to make it?
Oh, wow. This is like, how long have we got? that's like amazing. Such a cool question. So with the London user group, so what we kind of did is, so this was a little bit before also the kind of large Power Platform kind of like marketing, like, and as soon as kind of Power Platform came, many more user groups came up. Whereas the user group that we led first was primarily Dynamics, right? So the idea is we actually had a group of about 8 people in the committee. So we actually had 8 people kind of creating these. We did 3 to 4 events a year, and there were full day events with at least three concurrent tracks. And that is like not an easy feat, even with 8 people, right? To go ahead and do that. And I think the thing that the whole co-creators are so important, because there'll be times when you're going to get annoyed and things are going to kind of like really, really get to you. Work work's got to get in the way, and this is a volunteer effort. That's the thing that's really important, is the fact that this is a volunteer effort, and anyone, if you are horrible to someone, or if you like kind of are rude, and if you set the expectations too high without being cognizant of someone's still got an 8 to 9 hour day, they're just gonna go, do you know what, I'm just gonna like not do this. And being able to work, kind of get your tribe and get everyone committed to this common goal, goes back to that original thing that you said, Donna, at the very start, is if you know your why, your reason, essentially being able to understand why you're creating that kind of group, you can still come together in those kind of really tough times. And that's kind of how we did it. It's essentially that communication and knowing your why and what brings you all together.
Yeah, I think that is really powerful about the London group too. Also, you moved, but the user group didn't fall apart because we've still got Keith and Sam and Chris and all of them still running events. And it's so important because we're not always going to be there. I'm just referring to real life ones or even virtual ones if you're traveling or if you're sick or whatever. You don't want to not have the event at some sort of regular cadence because one of the organizers either super busy with work, traveling sick, no longer interested, moved, etc. So I find having co-organizers to be vitally important. Also, you have different networks. You can bring in different people to attend. You get different sponsorships. You have ideas on different places to have events, et cetera, et cetera. I found all of the successful user groups I've attended to have at least two organizers, at least, at least. So the third thing that you and I have talked about a lot is have some sort of regular cadence or a plan, right? Don't start a user group and say, hey, we're going to have an event, and then never having thought about what is next month? What is next month? What is next month? Let's talk a little bit about consistency, something that's you're very, very
so passionate about, right? Again, how long have you got? This is consistency is one of, do you know what? I'll be brutally honest with you. I'm a bit, I always get frustrated with people on the point of consistency because essentially it's one of the, I suppose maybe I should probably be a bit more patient with, have more patience with people. But the thing is, consistency is the hardest thing you'll find with creating and leading and continuing a user group because ultimately it's so easy to create something. It's like, I know that I'm probably going to be really simplifying it here, but it's like you open Microsoft Word right now and creating a new document. Creating a user group is actually very easy, like as in, you know, creating a new meetup, like when I created the Vancouver business application user group on meetup.com, it took me like less than 15 minutes. It's like literally not hard at all. It's very, very easy to actually create one, and then if you're in like kind of I think I signed up for Meetup Pro as well, so it puts you into lots of different campaigns, so you're going to get people just like kind of organically kind of going into that group without me even doing any marketing, without me even announcing it, only to a few people right now. And the thing is, like, that's like no effort. Like, I could, it's almost like kind of cruise control on a car. Whereas the actual real effort is all about then, like you said earlier, Donna, about creating the group and then having almost like a 3-month schedule, at least a 3-month, 3 to 6 month schedule of what does your kind of like first two quarters look like. Almost you kind of have to look at it like a business, because you kind of have to look, especially if you are looking at in-person events, you need to get the space. And we've talked about this in the past in terms of the booking of space is probably one of the most difficult things because you're dealing with organizations that then have needs, you know, you need to look at people, you need to look at how you get food in there, you know, where you can keep the food, all that kind of like nitty-gritty detail, and it puts most people off.
Right.
Like it makes people really kind of just go, oh, you know what? Yeah, I kind of was going to create the user group, but kind of things happened. And those things are life, right? Like kind of those, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So for in-person ones, do you recommend actually booking out venues 3 months in advance or at least having an idea of venues you can book?
So much. Oh, well, yeah. So in the London, we booked. We would actually book in London when we had an event. So we went 3 times a year in London, and we actually would book the room before we actually did the keynote for the one before. So because rooms would in the Microsoft buildings, if you're going to be, and the big recommendation here is use Microsoft buildings if you can, because they normally hold no cost. Normally, if you have an advocate at that building, like as in, and there are many Microsoft advocates that will help you run a user group. If there's a React reactor in your area, use the reactor because that's what they're made for. Okay. And also again, they should have no cost or normally have no cost. But the idea is that they get booked up so much, like as in these are for like business meetings, they're for there's hundreds of thousands of other events going on. So if you don't have this 3 to 6 month mindset, you're going to find yourself going, oh yeah, we're running a user group like, you know, next week, and then there's no rooms. And, you know, the other part of it as well is about being polite to the people you want to attend. If I announce I'm running a, like, even if it's virtual as well, if I put on Twitter like now, hey everyone, we've got like the first user group next week, it's like, how kind of, it's kind of rude of me, right? Like, because you've got commitments, you've got like your normal work. And if I'm asking people to take some time out of their day and come and attend a user group and then not really be cognizant of their current commitments, it's kind of, you know, it's not, I'm going to actually be kicking myself because people aren't going to attend.
Totally. And right now, as we're creating virtual events, there are so many tools out there. We love this Teams call method. I was on a Teams call this morning, this is the monthly Power Apps Teams call, and that worked incredibly well. Just send out the link to people, host like 250 people. That's a huge user group if you have 250 people show up. Yeah. And if you're having it specifically for your area, you have it in the time zone that works for most people, and have it recorded and just keep that going in the regular cadence. I actually found it really cool. And I was thinking that this is a very good time to start up a very powerful Seattle user group, Pacific Northwest one, where we're in the same time zone, start having, building up the user group virtually now. So when we can have events in real life, we already have a rich community of people. We're not afraid of each other. We already vaguely know each other from the Teams calls. So it gave me awesome. The idea of just having this conversation. So fourth question for you, Sarah, this has become question and answer. tell me about, so we have a user group, we have people who are organizing it. How the heck do you get the word out to people that this is a user group, this is the topic? How do you spread the word? How do you get more than like you and your organizer and maybe that friend you cajoled into attending?
So that's such a cool question, because that's one of the things that people struggle with, especially, and I think this is what puts a lot of people off in terms of they feel that they don't have a big network. So they're like, oh, you know, how am I going to go ahead and get that word out? The big thing here is that, you know, going back to what you said, Donna, about having a co-creator, at least one, this really helps, because if you think about it, they're almost like a multiplier for your marketing. So everyone has their own network. So imagine if you've got, so I've got my network, but then say, for example, we've got person number two, they've got to have their network. And immediately there's going to be some crossover, but let's just assume you're doubling your network reach there. And then, you know, if we want to be cheeky, we can go ahead and ask, and to be fair, be cheeky, you know, ask a question, you know, what you got to lose, ask people to share your user group, ask people to go ahead. And the other thing as well is that going back to that very, very, very first thing about knowing your why, about you want to create it. So let me give you an example here. So my why is because in Vancouver, I feel that I can really help people with their careers and help people give people a platform to go ahead and speak where they actually haven't had the opportunity to do so. That's my why. That's what I love creating platforms to do. And when I share my why with people, people are like, wow, that's actually kind of like, yeah, I really want to help you achieve that. Like that's, I either resonate with it or I support your like kind of ambition. And when you kind of communicate that, I think it really helps your marketing effort. Do you know what I mean by that in terms of, because I think you've done similar things in the past.
Yeah, I think the way you say it works really well, which is you're not saying, hey, come to my user group. You're saying, do you have this unique problem? Do you want to grow your career? Do you want speaking experience? Do you want experience building this thing? People are like, yeah, then come to this thing. You propose the problem people might have. You say, I know people who have this problem. I have this problem. Do you have this problem? So you build a tribe of like-minded people. Then you pitch your idea. Rather than leading with the idea, people are like, I don't have time for user group. I have, you know, calls 12 hours a day. I don't have time for yet another call. But people are like, I really want to solve this problem, get a different job, grow in my existing career, make friends with people around here, especially when we're all trapped in our houses. It would be really great to communicate and learn at the same time. Then you pitch the solution. So, and I love this idea of go out there and ask others to amplify your thing, right? And I believe in the direct ping. So rather than just posting on social, like, hey, you know, we're having this thing. Do you have this problem? Everyone amplify. I ping specific people who are influential and I say, hey, do you mind amplifying this to your community if it makes sense? And a direct ping one at a time, because people, there's so many asks we get a day. Yeah. But if you ask a specific person to amplify to a specific community with a specific ask, you are far more likely to get that taker. And this is, that goes all the way back to your first point. Do the research, find out the influential people who others know and who know people. Because if you have not been working with them, they're going to be like, what? Why are you starting this? What's going on? What's the plan? Because they haven't been brought along during this whole journey. But once you do, and you, Sarah, know like every single tech person in Vancouver already, it's been like 2 months that you live there. You would amplify your user group through them. And of course, you'd have like 1,000 people show up to your first thing. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think that is awesome. So what do you think is the last great tip that we should leave
everyone with? Oh, gosh, there are like so many. Like, I guess the big thing, and can, like, does this have to be a new one, or could I just reiterate it? Because the big thing for me, and maybe we'll do one each. Well, let's do one each in terms of like the absolute thing. For me, it has to be the consistency. Like, because the thing is, you're doing yourself a disservice and your community if you create a user group and then you don't, like, you have one or two and then you fall off, like, as in you don't end up doing anything else, because you've kind of done, like, you've you know, made a new document, you've kind of done the other hard part of getting people to your event, but then by not doing it and not committing to it, or like kind of falling, and you know, there's lots of reasons why people don't commit to it, because or have consistency, and that maybe because maybe someone's upset them, maybe they don't have a co-creator, maybe they've, you know, maybe something in life has happened, because life does happen, and they don't have that support network, and you know, there's lots of different reasons, and by kind of taking a lot of the tips that we've spoke about already, you can actually mitigate a lot of that, which promotes consistency. And but essentially, like, if one person, you know, I was talking to the people that that are kind of helping with the Vancouver user group, Ali, Matt, they're amazing, Vicky, you are, massive shout out to you all. They, like, I said to them, if no one turns up, that's okay. Because we're all going to be there, like, as in we'll just have like four people in a room, and I'll do a demo, you'll do a demo, like, that, you know, people will still be together and we'll share pictures on social. We're not going to be afraid of that, because people like to, it's kind of like, you know, they're scrolling through their feed and they see, oh wow, that's a kind of cool little gathering, I'm going to go attend next time. Like, don't be afraid of that. That's my biggest kind of thing. So that's kind of cool.
I think the smaller gatherings are almost better sometimes, right? Rather than a meeting of 250 people, having a meeting of 5 or 10, it's actually way more intimate. You build far better relationships and you get to go deep on many, many technical topics. So there's nothing to be ashamed of with that. It's just people are busy. It has nothing to do with your idea or whether your ability as a leader. It has a lot to do with people just don't know. So I'll give you an example, like Foyan in Nigeria, her first Nigeria user group session was two people. Her and a dude. And that's it. Two people showed up to this. Did she give up? No, it would have been so easy to give up. And she said, no, I believe more people need this. So they met again the next month. They had 50 freaking people show up.
2 to 50.
Because they amplified on social. They're like, the two of us got together and here's the things we learned. And next month, 50 people show up. And by the time I went, 150 people showed up. Now they're over 250.
Wow.
That was in 4 months. So
that's amazing.
Amazing things happen, but you just have to really believe in your idea. The thing I'll leave everyone with is, know what you want people to get out of your user group. Is it hands-on coding? Is it, oh, here's a concept, everyone go practice at home? Is it hearing from influential speakers? Figure out what you want people to get out of it each month, right? It can change, and definitely ask people, this is what I want. Wanted everyone to get out of it. Did you feel that you got out of it? So constantly be in a feedback loop, really co-create with the people attending. So do a survey, ask people specifically to fill it out. And my last one, of course, is voluntel people. So I'm
love
a huge
that.
Fan. That's amazing. I'm a huge fan. If people come, say, you, I would love for you to be a speaker next month and present your thing. They're like, wait, I'm new. I don't even.
They're like, so, sinks into chair.
Exactly. They're like, why are you calling on me? I said, because you're exactly the right victim for this project. You are someone who is new to this. You are learning it now. Go learn it and then go present it next month to all the people who feel like, oh, I'm new, I can't learn it. the people who are new are actually the best teachers for any project, whether it's Power Platform or, you know, not Power Platform. So I encourage every organizer, volunteer the shy looking people to speak, yeah, because they will do a really, really good job.
Oh, my, I resonate with that so much. You really have, and you have to, for those organizers, you do have to be quite stern. You have to say no, and keep them accountable. Like in a week or something after you, after you telling them and like giving them the opportunity, say, hey, like, how's that going? Like, let me check in.
Do you want to, you know, review slides or go through some talking points? Because you are on at 6 o'clock on this date. And they're like, maybe I was hoping you forgot. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You had to forget. Yeah. All right. We're, of course, way over time because this is us and we can talk about this forever. But you, if you enjoyed this episode, stay tuned for our next episode where we teach you something very, very important. How to start a user group with a kit that Sarah's actually made. It is called User Group in a Box. You definitely want to stay tuned for that. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Donna.
I'm Sarah.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.